the choir sang, "Come, let us be singing, singing Alleluia." We gather in the midst of the Jewish High Holy Days, a 10-day period known as the Days of Awe, which ends next Tuesday with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's a time when the new year begins on the Jewish calendar, just as a new year is beginning for us now at church. It's a time when we look back over the past year and examine our lives, consider those places where we have fallen short, where we have missed the mark, and seek ways to set things right, to make amends. It's also a time to look forward to a new year and to the principles that should guide us as we strive to live worthy lives and to make the world a better place. As the Wickham Marble family comes forward to light our chalice, I invite you to open to the chalice lighting words in your order of service. We'll read them together in unison. In the darkness, we light a candle of hope. In pain, we light a candle of forgiveness. In loneliness, we light a candle of warmth. In gratitude, we light a candle of thanks. In wonder, we light a candle of praise. Our separate lights become one, that we may be nourished by its glow. Those Hebrew words that you just heard sung in that really beautiful setting translate to this. The world is sustained by three things, by truth, by justice, and by peace. This text is from a part of the Talmud known as the Pirkei Avot, or the Wisdom of the Fathers. It's a collection of ethical teachings handed down from one generation to the next by the great rabbis, and was written in the Mishnaic period, which is about the 1st to the 3rd century. This beautiful piece of music was what led me to explore this book of the Talmud again. I'm sure that it was included in my Hebrew studies many years ago, but in truth, I didn't remember it. Reading it, I found it a treasure trove of wisdom, and discovered that many of the sayings that we hear as sage advice to this day come right from this text. I'm sure you've heard some of the variations on these used in speeches and conversations too. Among those that immediately rang as familiar to me was, "If I am not for myself, who will be for me? And when I am only for myself, what am I?" Another that we so often hear from those calling for social action is, "If not now, when?" But the saying that seems so appropriate for this time when Jews all around the world, and we too as a church, look to a new year, is the one you just heard sung. The world is sustained by three things: by truth, by justice, and by peace. I submit to you this morning that both at the level of our personal lives and relationships, and at the level of society, there's great wisdom in this teaching. According to the great rabbis, these are the values that promote the welfare of humankind, both at the interpersonal level and the societal level. It's a powerful statement, because it says more than just these are good things. It says they are essential things to sustain our civilization, essential to having a world that endures. As I thought about these great rabbinical teachings, I realized how much we as Unitarian Universalists draw upon this tradition. The brief teaching in this passage is reflected in several of the principles we as Unitarian Universalists affirm. We advocate a free and responsible search for that truth. We affirm justice, equity, and compassion in human relationships, and the inherent worth and dignity of every person, all with the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Like the great rabbis whose ethical sayings are recorded in this text, we offer guiding principles with the belief that indeed following their guidance is what can promote a better life for us as individuals and a better world. They are maxims that can guide us as we embark on our new year. The first of the three virtues that is said to sustain the world is truth. And what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that telling someone who asks that you like their new hairdo when you actually think it's hideous is going to destroy the world. But it does put a premium on truth-telling. You know, as I watch the political ads in this campaign season, on both sides of the political aisle, I can't avoid the observation that on both of those sides, it seems that every possible effort is made to bend or distort the truth. Maybe not an outright lie, but snippets out of context, a gross exaggeration, or partial facts and figures and statistics that intentionally leave a wrong impression. You probably have seen the truth squads on some of the television networks that rate the truthfulness of the statements made by candidates or made in their advertisements. And you know, very few rate high on the truthfulness scale. The kind of truth that upholds the world is more than just not telling a lie. It's also about not withholding information, not having one story for your big political donors and another for the general public. It's also not truthful to simply say nothing when that hides the truth or leaves people in the dark when they need information. You know, do you ever flip the channels from, like, MSNBC to Fox or vice versa, and see how they convey the same news story of the day? It often does not appear that their agenda is really one of reporting the truth at all, but more of one of advancing a political position while saying they're telling the truth. Did you see the Massachusetts Senate debate this week? If so, you know that from the get-go, each candidate tried to go after the other on truthfulness. Why? Because a lack of truthfulness not only provides us with incorrect information, but it destroys trust. Trust in a candidate, trust in our government, trust in our friends, trust in our partner or spouse. You know, I read something with a study quoted not long ago that said lack of truthfulness in marriage is far more destructive than lack of fidelity. Kind of interesting. What we're called to do is to be truthful, to avoid unfair exaggeration, to be open and honest with those in your life. And sometimes it's not easy. It might not give you the upper hand or the greatest economic benefit. You know, there's a story of a Jewish story of a rabbi who needs to earn more money to support his family. So he decides to open a store and he stocks it full of goods. And then he has to put a price on them. And he struggles to set the price. So on each item, he doesn't just put the price that it'll cost, but he put down the price that it cost him to buy that item and how much he will make when someone purchases it. He says he can then run his store because he has a sense of being truthful with his customers. I doubt we'll ever walk into a Walmart or, for that matter, a Neiman Marcus and see that information on a price tag, will we? We have all been less than truthful. And if we think about it, many times it's had consequences in our lives. We tend to sometimes forget those as we move along. But think back. Do you remember maybe as a child? I bet you had this experience as a child. Telling a lie and then having to tell at least 10 more in order to cover that one up. And do you remember the stress of living with the lie? Lack of truthfulness can be a vicious circle. We can become imprisoned by our lies and misrepresentations. But as the old saying goes, it's the truth that will set us free. Truthfulness sustains our relationships and builds a society of trust, so critical to having a world community that will work together. And truthfulness is closely connected to the other virtues that the great rabbis tell us are required to sustain our world, justice and peace. So let's turn to justice. Why is it a key element for civilization to survive? Why is it critical to us at an interpersonal level? Well, at one level, we know that having court systems and laws that apply to all people are necessary to maintain order in our society. But justice is more than just laws and courts. Judgment is a part of justice, but real justice is much more. In that story of Jonah and the Ninevites that was so wonderfully acted out for us, we saw judgment, what many think of as justice, being played against mercy and forgiveness. Real justice is not just about punishment. It is about making things right, making people whole again. It's about fairness and equality. Injustice is so often the product of a lack of truthfulness, and an unjust society can never really be a society at peace. It seems that truth and justice are prerequisites to a peaceful society. Perhaps the best example of this in modern time is the truth and reconciliation process that took place in South Africa at the end of apartheid. Some might say that there should have been harsh punishment for the whites who denied the most basic of rights to the black population and killed and oppressed many of them. But Mandela knew that would only lead to generations more of hate and unrest in his country. He needed to heal the nation. So instead of what some might call justice, He believed that if people told the truth, sincerely admitted their wrongs and changed their ways, turned in a new direction, and in positive ways made amends for the centuries of wrong, then the society could move towards peaceful coexistence. And isn't that the story of Jonah and the Ninevites? And isn't that the practice in which Yom Kippur tells us we must engage? We all need justice in our lives. If we are wronged, we deserve to have that wrong righted as best it can be. And we each have an opportunity every day to do justice. It involves treating everyone fairly and with respect, regardless of their position in society, their gender, their sexual orientation, regardless of their religion, of where they were born, or how they came to this country, or their ableness. It involves sharing the richness of our country and world more generously and more evenly, of sharing our personal gifts more liberally with those who could use our help. This is all the work of justice. And each day, with our voices and with our even smallest deeds, we have an opportunity to contribute to justice. Here at church, we provide you with opportunities to do the work of justice. For example, right now you can sign up to tutor or assist in filing Dream Act applications at the Cleghorn Community Center in Fitchburg, a place that serves many low-income and immigrant children. And there are two great opportunities coming up in October to help at our Unitarian Universalist Urban Ministry in Roxbury. Some of you have helped at these before. You can volunteer to help with running an activity for small kids on a Saturday morning. We do a pumpkin hunt and decorating, or to help prepare and serve a meal to the Roxbury youth who participate in the after-school program. We're known as the Mexican dinner people, so we're going to bring that back again by popular request. If you're interested in either of those, there's some clipboards on the parish life table over at Fellowship Hall, or if you want more information, put your name down and someone will get in touch with you, or throw me an email. There are also ways to do justice in your daily lives. If someone is being treated unfairly in your place of work or school, if someone's dignity and worth is being degraded because of their ethnicity or their religion or their sexual orientation, you have the privilege to say something, to be a witness for justice, to support someone being treated unjustly. Justice in a society is just necessary for there to be peace, the last of the three essential elements required to sustain the world. Each day, when I watch the news, I find it sickening to realize how far we are from peace. Whether it's in Palestine or Syria or Afghanistan, or the disturbances now all over the Arab world, incited by a film that mocks the Prophet Muhammad. We see how lacking peace is, and how much that lack of peace is tied to a lack of truth and a lack of justice. This week in Pakistan, our government is running an ad on Pakistani television, trying to tell the truth that our nation does not support the denigration of Islam's prophet, in an effort to try and prevent violence by meeting it with truth. Sadly, as a society, often we do not promote peace. Even sometimes our religious traditions will be so hard and fast in their ways that they raise up difference and they cause hatred to develop against those who believe differently. Many in our own society still believe such outrageous things as people who wear turbans or people who look like Arabs are terrorists. And few really make any real effort to try to understand Islam. In other nations of the world, there is severe distrust and lack of understanding of Americans. It seems so overwhelming, I think, that we only seem able to meet that challenge by increasing military might. And when will we learn that that isn't the road to peace? It's really hard to know what you can do to promote peace. But surely programs that help those in need throughout the world are useful. But you know, the pursuit of peace is not just some government policy. It is also an individual state of mind. The spirit of peace starts within each of us. You know, just about every single Thursday night since the Iraq War started, a group from this church, sometimes joined by others from the greater community, stands in front of that church right out there, holding up signs at the Route 117, urging for an end to war and a policy of peace. Sometimes it's only two or three people. But think about all the people in the cars that drive by in rush hour traffic each Thursday and how they're reminded that it's peace, not war, that sustains the world. You know, those signs may do anger some people. Some may even ridicule those bleeding hearts holding them up. But at some point, people understand that this is a witness for peace. And even if they're not ready to accept the idea, a seed of peace is planted, whether they like it or not, in their heart. What I'm saying about peace, as well as truth and justice, is that it starts with each of us. It's important that institutions such as this one advocate for and provide opportunities to live these virtues. But it starts with each of us. As the Chinese philosopher Lao Tse observed in the 5th century before the Common Era, if there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. If there's to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. You see, what sustains the world actually all begins with each of us. The world is sustained by three things that we can hold in our hearts and in minds and act upon daily in our lives: truth, justice, and peace. My New Year prayer for us is this. May we hear the call of these virtues. May we find a place for each of them in our hearts and minds. And may we promote them by living them in our lives each day. It's said that at this time on the Jewish calendar, names are inscribed in the Book of Life. This year, may our deeds of truth, of justice, and of peace inscribe our names in that book.